Well, the way we've been doing this is Leslie and I are co-chairing this meeting, and I think we're going to continue that today. So I'm gonna call, I'll call the meeting to order, and I guess we have a set of minutes to approve.
We do. Did they get sent out in the...
There's a link with the agenda.
Okay.
On the agenda.
I saw that.
So if you want to approve them, someone will have to move and someone will have to second. And if nobody's read them, then we could just move on and we'll have to do it the next meeting.
I didn't see the link.
Well, I move to approve the Trails Master Plan Review Subcommittee meeting minutes of June 2nd, 2022, as presented.
I'll second.
I have nothing to say about it.
Okay, all in favor, unless there's some change, addition, et cetera, we'll go ahead and vote. So all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. Additions and deletions to the agenda. I just have one item, and that is that at our last meeting, David Chapman offered his resignation, and the thinking was that he was not going to be able to make meetings, and he didn't want to be part of a quorum problem, which was great. But we haven't had any meetings since then, and I've talked to David. David now says he is around, and that isn't an issue. The quorum, attending meetings isn't an issue. So Leslie and I talked, and we've decided that we are going to deny his request to be removed from the committee. And so at this point, he will continue on the committee as he has been.
All right.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting that out of the, we now, now it's time for public input. I see that Aegon DeBois wants to speak, and that's great. You say you have a question, just understand that this isn't usually a time where for back and forth. It's the input time. Sometimes exceptions are made, but not usually. So, Aegon, go ahead.
What you're reading up there, that's a question regarding one of the items. But I wish to speak in the public forum regarding trail access, see below. I wrote that there.
Okay.
So, I've lived in Ashland since 2004. I can stand here.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yes.
We're gonna try to give you about 3 or 4 minutes.
That's fine. I'm a loving trail user, and I use trails in every imaginable way, aside from riding horses. And I'm just here to tell you all, in the hope that you'll take this to heart and maybe make some decisions or adjust some of your decisions in the future. Regarding trail access. So trails have been changing. There are far more trails now than there have been before. Usage has been changing. Initially, there were three main user groups, equestrians, cyclists, and pedestrians. Now it's a lot more than that. These three groups has changed dramatically in the last 30 years and has many subgroups now. And those are the bicyclists. They also happen to be the most vocal and most active group in all kinds of positive ways, sweat equity, building trails, and lobbying in general to get more trails to be installed. But in the process, some of the other users, other kind of bicyclists, and I'm gonna be specific here, the trend is now riding downhill. It's a lot easier technologically, it's a lot more fun, lots of people are doing it, it's all good, but there are other cyclists out there that climb, and then there are pedestrians. And some of the trails that have been historically used by everybody are being lost to the one subgroup that I just mentioned. I have two examples here, one of them is catwalk. I just had a conversation, I don't know, 2 weeks ago with one of the riders that I know, I have lots of friends, asking questions about some of the features that were put in. For people that don't know those features, they are mostly jumps of all kinds. And I just made a comment that that makes it more difficult to climb that trail, and a little bit more difficult maybe for some pedestrians to walk it. And the answer was pedestrians have given up on catwalk because there's too much traffic and traffic is too fast. So that didn't sit well with me because that is the only trail that I know of, trail, to get on foot to Four Corners from anywhere down below. But downhill trails, there are at least a handful going from Four Corners down, some of them far more exciting than catwalk. So I also heard that there is a plan to build another trail there that would be more friendly for pedestrian use and all that. The big question is how many trails does one destination, top and bottom, need? And not because I'm opposed to trails. Trails are fun and, well, the more the merrier. The problem is it's fun to build them. It's no fun to maintain them. The more trails there are, the same number of people that work on them, trails do not get maintained and eventually fall into disrepair. And but the main thing here is my main problem with everything is access. Pedestrians have far less access than bikers, and bikers have the right to perhaps more access because they're working. They put trails in, and that's fine. But the watershed is for everybody. People that make the rules put the signs one way only, pedestrians only, bikers only, downhill only, should take into consideration that access should be inclusive and kind. So when there are a few more trails that are being built now, and there are going to be more. So whenever you or any other body that makes the rules and approves such building such trails may consider keeping that in mind and not make trails exclusive to just one, and I don't want to say one group, one type of usage, not for just one type of usage, because that changes the dynamics of everybody that would otherwise go onto the trails, but they no longer will. They will find themselves something else to do. And now I have that one question regarding that one of the items on the agenda, and that's the bypass trail to Wander. And I didn't walk the whole thing that's in there now. I only walked part of it. I just want to know whether anyone is contemplating any kind of like use restrictions, so, such as will that trail be? I mean, it's a bypass to Wander. Wander is an all. All-purpose trail.
We can answer that, I think, pretty simply. Those new trails are downhill only for bicycles. That was their main.
Well, you might consider, since you made that decision already, you might consider looking at future plans and just do a count of how many downhill-only trails there are. So I realized that that trail is built by downhill bikers, ostensibly to teach and to help younger users or beginners get off Wander. But yeah, that's one more downhill trail. And the last thing, and this is just a small comment, again, something for all of you to consider. Technology and the bike industry has been changing rapidly. The proliferation of e-bikes, both in numbers and capability, is great. And they create problems that I witnessed. I mean, there are trails that are multi-purpose trails, multi-use trails, I'm sorry, terminology, that happen to have very long stretches or very narrow trail. And until e-bikers started using, and I'm talking to be specific about Wander, mostly Lower Wander, also Upper Wander, but mostly Lower Wander. Lower Wander has long stretches of super narrow trail. It is rather difficult, even for a cyclist that's not on an e-bike, to negotiate a passage with pedestrians. That can be two, three, four, children, dogs, whatnot, because in most of those long, narrow places, you have a sheer drop on one side and a pretty steep, help me.
Bank.
Poison oak.
Bank. And then there is poison oak.
And you need to wrap up.
Yes. So I've seen, as far back as yesterday, e-bikers climbing that trail. Very few cyclists that are not on e-bikes climb that trail, which makes it a lot easier to negotiate. I mean, the population is a little smaller, the conflicts are smaller. But as soon as e-bikers start climbing that trail, it becomes, I wouldn't want to see one type of usage being pushed away or discriminated against. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think at this point, election of a chair and a vice chair. So I guess we're looking for nominations.
Can you elaborate what the responsibilities of those?
Well, basically you'd be doing what Leslie's been doing.
What are you doing, Leslie?
Yeah, we
sell it.
I have pretty much been, I could be nominated as well, I'm open to that. But put together the agenda. Sean has graciously volunteered, I think from henceforth, to provide some administrative support. But put together agenda, you know, I've been sending out emails, doing doodle polls, a lot of the sort of logistics, and then essentially a lot of behind the scenes sort of work.
I nominate Leslie.
Okay, we have
careful what
the nomination is seconded. So, all in favor, aye, please.
I don't have to, I guess I sort of accepted the...
You said...
Are you going to recuse yourself?
Well, let's try it again. How about if everybody raise their hand if you for that? If you support it. Okay, well, we have a new chair, so I am now out of a job, so you can take over from here.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the vote of confidence. And I guess the next thing is to elect a vice chair. Do you have any nominations for vice chair? That would essentially be to run the meetings if the chair is not present, and you would be involved in helping to make the agenda and potentially would be useful. Later in this agenda, we'll talk about formation of working groups, and so it would be great to have some assistance wrangling those, or you know, potentially the chair would be within one working group and the vice chair would be in the other, so that we could keep each other sort of updated on what's going on. Any other things, Rick, that you think of the vice chair would?
No, it's in this particular case, it's often we don't even have a vice chair for these, yeah. So. Yeah.
So it's no big deal. Okay, nominations for vice chair. I nominate Torsten.
Oh.
I think you're allowed.
But you don't really need a vice chair, is what I'm hearing.
I don't think we do.
Couldn't you just stay as vice chair? Leave it the way it is, or flipped?
Rick's a busy guy.
You don't want to do it, is that it?
Well, no, I do want to do that because in a way it makes sense because Leslie and I have been working pretty closely together. What do you think, Leslie?
If that's what the group wants to do, sure.
Sounds good to me.
Makes sense.
Okay, so we have nominated Rick. Do we have a second?
I'll second that. Yes.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, that looked like...
The ayes have it.
The ayes have it. All right, so not much has changed. Okay, let's continue on. Okay, so we are going to start out with update on the trail formerly known as Wonder Bailout and potentially renamed Wasabi. That sort of basically needs to be approved by APRC commissioners, but that's looking like that will be the name. The trail is, yes?
Is that the name that came out of the contest search?
Yeah, okay, cool.
Have it is narrowed down to about 5, and then the RBMBA board basically like ranked their top, came to like 2 or 3.
Is there any significance behind it?
So sometimes trails are named for the color they're supposed to represent on the difficulty scale. So you have your green is kind of your beginner, your blue is your intermediate, and your black is your hard trails. And if there's a trail like on the edge, especially a green, sometimes it's referred to as a spicy green or spicy blue. Mm-hmm. So names like jalapeno came up, wasabi. Yeah, obviously, like we talked about, the intent was to make the trail as easy as possible, but, you know, through the discussion, I think we talked about how the terrain still presents challenges in places. So I think we accomplished it. I think it's much easier than BTI or Jabberwocky. Yeah, so that's where the name came from.
It's spicy green wasabi.
Kind of
nice
green. I get it. So, yeah.
So I guess, excuse my ignorance, but there's 2 trails.
Right.
So that seems really confusing if there's 2 trails in 1 name.
Yeah, so we're talking about that now. Someone suggested ginger. This is your condiments and you get sushi, right? Wasabi,
yeah.
Ginger. Go hand in hand. But
there's upper wasabi.
Yeah, sometimes you can use lower and upper. I think something short and quick would be nice to have like a different name. But I guess at this time we don't.
Well, I don't know if you have time. We could sort of talk about that a little bit with Jason after the meeting. We're kind of like hustling to get to that finish line, which is basically this week. So none of the stuff is official yet, but we're moving towards like a full official roundup. We need to get temporary signage put in there, but the trail in terms of building is done.
Whoa, that's awesome.
It is still closed to the public. There's still RBMBA signs across there, and we're waiting on signage and those decisions that need to be made, because there's a couple of offshoots as well on the trail that represent a higher level of difficulty, so those definitely need to be signed. We don't want any kindergartners launching down without seeing like a, if you go this way, there's a drop.
Or a parent of a kindergartner.
Or a parent. Totally,
kindergartners will
totally
be able to sign
be
it
me.
Be hearing in front.
Right. So, it was great working with Earthworks. They built the trail really fast. And from what I've seen of it, I haven't gotten to ride it yet, but I walked it last week. It was really beautiful. We're working on some press and some messaging between RBMBA and APRC that we can put out there, and thinking about potentially doing some sort of event. It's too bad I don't have like the full like conclusive information for you, but we're so close. We're there. Rick.
So I'm just curious, historically, who gets to name the trails? And I think about that because, like, for the city, you get developers name the streets, and we end up with, you know, Buck Munson Drive and who's the developer, probably a nice guy, but why does he get a name on the street? And so I'm just curious, traditionally, how these names have come up.
I can maybe answer that in part, because I have some experience in that department. It used to be on city lands that if you built a new trail or modified a trail and created a new name, you would go through the Forest Lands Commission. So I probably presented 6 or 7 different names to the Forest Lands Commission. But now under this new process, I imagine it's really APRC that is approving.
Thank you.
That's my 2 cents.
Phil.
I don't know if I missed something when you're talking about needing a new name besides Wonder Bailout. But I would wonder if, the reason we thought about Wonder Bailout to begin with was because it was like you know, we wanted somebody to be able to bail off and get down. And, you know, I know you're going to have signs and everything, but having the name be Wonder Bailout, I mean, that's like what it is. Mm-hmm. And
that was on the list.
No, okay. I didn't get any emails about being able to vote, but...
Sorry, it was on the RVMBA list.
Oh, okay.
So just to back up, I spoke with Michael Black and asked, and I thought you were involved in these conversations, Rick, where the decision was that RVMBA got suggestions from the community, they were going to come up with a candidate, and that and because my understanding is also that AWTA in the past and the trails that they have built have named those trails. And that would just need to be approved by APRC.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to start over or anything. I was just curious
just
from the start.
They usually came with the proposal, right?
Yeah. And there have been rejections. Specifically when we've tried to name trails after people who just died, for instance. Summarily rejected. Mm-hmm. Which is fine.
So I guess we have two options. Although I know that we're probably not in a position to talk about this today, but in terms of process, I think in the future it could potentially be transferred over to this trails group and then recommended to APRC. It's a lot of we're kind of rebuilding the system, so there's going to be some rough spots. Yes.
That's the part, I may be the only one out of the loop on this one, but when last I saw you guys, it was in June, and we said that was a reasonable direction to go for the bailout trail. And from then, it's gone to design, approval, and build. How did that all happen? Yeah, I saw that your new trail process, it went through that process?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
So, step by step, did the design go to you? And you said, okay, on the design, somebody approved that it's environmentally okie-dokie?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Okay, so after this group approved the trail in concept, and anyone jump in here if I'm missing a step, RVMBA went forward with a trail designer from BLM, who did, my understanding is that he was pivotal and a designer for Mountain of the Road and has built a lot of trails. And he flagged a proposed course. I sent out to all the folks in this body as well as Forest Lands. The trail is flagged. We had some opportunities to meet with folks and walk the trail with the designer. And it was unanimously not approved, but appreciated, and folks were pretty excited and happy about that design. That went to the Forest Lands, now Management Advisory Council, with a proposal, with a full proposal.
Well,
and
before that,
actually,
you know,
the full proposal went
proposal
to
after Nick had applied
to the Trails Group.
To you.
So RVMBA submitted a full proposal that went to APRC, and that was what was presented to Forest Lands. Forest Lands, essentially, from their review authority, they looked at the fire vulnerability, they looked at erosion potential, they got presented by RVMBA, and they had a couple of recommendations and minor concerns. They had some monitoring plots, they wanted to look at the bottom section of the trail in terms of exits. But they, recommended that the trail be approved and sent over to APRC, and Ashland Parks and Rec Commissioners then approved the trail for build. So that's how that went. Am I missing anything?
And as part of that, is somebody from Parks or Forest Lands to watch over them to make sure it goes the way it was planned?
So Chris Chambers was up there and met with the, so I spent some time working with the builder and we made some specs that we had agreed upon before they started building. Chris was up there to look at, to talk to the builder as well as to point out some monitoring stations that needed to be avoided. And then Jason's
those specs
were
walked
it
up to, like the, a week before the build started, did Morgan send out that list? Ask for any additions or subtractions based on your need.
And of the list?
Yeah, like trail will be 36 to 48 or whatever. That
bulleted
sent
it out, and I
think
we all said,
right?
Yeah, we like this, we like this, we like this.
But I'm not
and
sure.
And then that got included in the contract that APRC had with them. So that's the way it went. Doesn't mean it has to go that way next time. If there's, that's, we, that was, I thought, as true as to the process that that we could get, but I'm always open to things that got missed or, so.
Thanks for the summary.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is an addition, but even the process itself that you laid out, that you wrote out, like step one, step two, went in front of Forest Lands, and Forest Lands did.
None of that said anything about how it gets named, though.
Yeah,
right. Which is sort of like this annoying little detail that that I think, you know, maybe we want to make that formal. Again, what I was sort of operating on, the standard, the procedure that I was operating on is that the trail group proposes a name and that name needs to be approved. Whether that gets approved by this group and then recommended to APRC or approved and by APRC commissioners themselves, I'm sort of don't know that I care.
I think it really makes sense that this group does a recommendation because that way when it goes to the commissioners, it just goes on the consent agenda and there really typically wouldn't be discussion. Whereas if it doesn't get recommended here, then it would need to be, it's very more likely to be discussed at that level. I don't think that that's really necessary.
Yeah.
Can we qualify that though, in the sense of RBMBA did what I think is the right thing to do and took sort of a community poll for a name, and it's coming here now, and then we can now recommend it if we like it. Is that what you're saying? Or are you saying it should originate in this group?
No. I mean, this group. I mean, someone could come forward with a name, and we, as you said, it's the same thing. This group could either agree to recommend it, or they could say no.
Okay.
For what it's worth, down in Mount Shasta, you know, they're building a bunch of new trails, and they did a very similar process where there was a subgroup of the Mount Shasta Trail Association that's kind of like our RBMB, and they surveyed a bunch of people and they came up with, you know, a bunch of names, you know, different things. They were, their ideas were more having it to do with something local physicality to the trail rather than the green, with, you know, blue, black, which I think is probably better. And then it came back, and in that case, the Forest Service owned, you know, it's National Forest, so then they had the ultimate approval, but they took the recommendations from the people. So they did it exactly what you're doing, you know, for what it's worth, and everybody felt like, you know, they'd been heard and got a chance, and the committee that took it, that would be sort of like what this committee was, they just ruled out the ones that were, you know, politically incorrect or, you know, whatever, but.
Bodie McBoatface.
A joke.
I have a question, Sean, about procedure. This is not listed as an action item. Can we have a motion and then, or can we recommend that trail?
I would say, since it's not on the agenda, no.
The name is on the agenda?
The name is on the agenda.
Well, it's not there.
Official name?
I guess it's officially a name. It's not labeled as an action item, but...
Of course, you haven't labeled anything as action items.
No,
I thought that the working... I actually thought that...
So that, if that's the case...
...would be considered an action item.
So, I thought that there's some... I thought there's still some things to work out about the trail that might make sense to do. You said you want to meet afterwards.
Yeah.
It seems like that should happen before the names are... before we vote on the names, based on what you told me earlier.
Right. There's definitely some more things that need to be discussed. However, my concern is that if this group has to approve of the name, we're not going to have a name for a very long time.
Why? We can meet next month.
Okay. But the trail will be in use by then.
So?
Why can't we do the name now?
So, we are still in deliberations as APRC whether the trail is going to be a green trail at all based on INBA standards. So, in my mind, we don't have difficulty levels on any of our trail signs at the moment, and there is nothing but trail forks or other third-party sources to tell the difficulty of the trail. So my personal opinion is name the trail Wasabi, like the community said, like RVMBA picked, continue with what we have, let third parties decide what trail level they think it is, and it's not on us to determine the difficulty level. If we want to change that system to have the whole watershed that being saying APRC is taking responsibility for saying this is a black trail, this is a blue trail, this is a green trail, if we do that, it's very likely this trail would be a blue because by INBA standards, just steepness screws us every time. With the grade, there aren't really a lot of opportunities for what would be by INBA standards, be a green trail. So
I looked at the standards, and if it checks 5 out of 6, does that still mean it can't? And that's something I can ask INBA. Because every other standard for a green, it meets. So that was kind of my thing, does it have to hit all 6 of those standards?
Well, it doesn't meet for average grade, it doesn't meet for max grade, and...
it doesn't meet for max?
There's 50 to 80 degree...
I think it was a 15% max grade was
right. But the turns are definitely steeper than that.
Okay. So 2 out of 6.
So
the trail width.
Yeah. So the question is, maybe it really doesn't matter, but I thought the idea was Wasabi was because it was spicy green. If that's important, then I think that then I question whether you want to and you want this trail to have a color designation, then I don't think we're ready to name it. But if there's not going to be colors on any of them, then there's nothing stopping, in my opinion, there's nothing stopping us from going ahead and giving a recommendation for names.
Yeah, I mean, we basically be punting the decision as to whether we want to be giving people a difficulty rating in the future. If we're seeing a future Ashland where a lot more strangers are coming to town to ride, it's a little bit being like, okay, if you don't have trail forks or you don't have some guide or something telling you what you're getting into, good luck. But
there's also the idea that a trail system difficulty level is relative to itself. So if you go to Moab or Bend, a green trail in Moab is going to be a black trail in Ashland and a double black in Bend. If you go to Bend, a green trail is going to be a sidewalk in Ashland.
Yeah.
So
it's up to
the individual trail system. And in that context, I've talked to a couple of people who have ridden this who consider themselves intermediate bikers. And they basically, I've asked them, is this easier than BTI and Jabberwocky? And they say, absolutely. So in that regard, if it's the easiest, right? So maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we have this problem called Caterpillar that is, we have some cross-country trails that are definitely, that are blues, but they're probably easier than that. So, it becomes kind of a mess that has erupted over time, which is maybe it is better to just kick it down the road and say, we got what we got, Wasabi's great name, recommend the name, and let trail forks and other people decide what the difficulty level is. I'm sort of leaning towards that.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the name, it can be independent of the difficulty status. And I'll say, that writing it today or this past week will be different than it is in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Jabberwocky or BTI, as it gets sandier and ball-bearing-ier,
mm-hmm.
if that's a word,
yeah,
it's going to get harder.
Yeah,
it's going to evolve in difficulty as the season progresses. So it's almost a meaningless color designation.
Well, my opinion is I think it's great because we don't have a lot of description to our trails. At least gives, it's not saying it's a green trail, right? We're not putting a stamp on it. We're not putting a flag on it. We've not done it to any of our other trails. But it, I think why I like it is it because it helps identify the intent of that trail. Like, that's what we all wanted and agreed to is like, hey, we have hard terrain around here, but we're going to try our best to make something that is accommodating. And I think that name just represents the intent. Very well. And we don't have a lot of other things because we don't label things. We don't have indications, but it's at least trying to help accomplish that. And I think it's been done in a really good way. It's not labeling it green. It's labeling it as a spicy green, which I think is green.
Yeah.
So you don't think we should label it green, like have an official label is what we
think. I think it's a whole different conversation. I think that was your point, Leslie. I think if we put a green label on it, we need to do that with every trail and have a process. And I mean, it could be ours, right? Ashland can have a process that is unique to Ashland, but if we do that on one trail,
right.
I think that needs to be have like, okay, what are, IMBA has one thing, are we adopting IMBA? Are we creating our own?
Or what about in the Forest Service, you know, trail that goes through city and Forest Service?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Jabberwocky.
Right.
And doesn't the Forest Service designate the top of Jabberwocky?
They don't.
They just designate the trail name.
They don't.
No, there's no diamond squares or circles
nothing.
Anywhere in the watershed that I'm aware of.
And they don't want it.
So
no.
This also could lead into a discussion about safety and recreational immunity.
That's what I was asking.
It's a good
too,
question
about
liability.
Yeah. There was a period of time before Jabberwocky was made that the state didn't have the recreational immunity because of a lawsuit in Portland that didn't get worked out for several months. And Torsten and I were having a discussion with the city attorney about not having recreational immunity. And the guys that were talking to us about potentially building Jabberwocky, you know, we were talking to them. And they originally had presented some ideas about having the main route and also having some options that had like a harder jump or something on it, you know, on the way down. And the feedback that, if I remember, you can tell me if you remember the writing about this, is that we didn't have recreational immunity at the time. The attorney was telling us every single option needed to be signed and with some kind of a difficulty warning so that before somebody went that way, they'd know whether they really make the decision and they want to do it or not. And so that was what we were hearing, and then the state got back recreational immunity before the trail ever was built. So we kind of didn't worry about it anymore, and they decided not to make options on Jabberwocky anyway. So it was kind of, then it was like a wash. But so the idea about recreational immunity, to me, was always like, everybody always uses this stupid analogy, but it's like if you have this trail, could be hiking or multi or single bike or whatever, and somebody's property goes through that's private, and they've been allowing you to do it for however many years, they don't even have to have a written agreement with you to be covered by recreational immunity. They are by the state. As long as they don't have something that's, you know, unusually dangerous, and that's, you know, who's going to decide that? Probably in court, right? But like if there's a well that's nearby that's not filled and somebody crashes and they fall off into the well and then they get hurt, that's probably not going to be covered by the state's recreational immunity. So they need to fill the well or cover it or whatever, then they'll still be covered, you know, for recreational immunity. Regular use of the trail. If somebody falls, their hip hits a root, they get broken hip bone or whatever, they're covered, you know,
yeah.
But not the empty well type thing. So for me, the question about this trail has a few options on it that I saw in the lower part of it where it comes down through the main draw. Whether or not that's one issue that where you really want to make sure to sign those options and whether to put a difficulty thing on them or not. It's some kind of a heads up, though, that somebody can decide whether it gives them information, you know, they can decide, yeah, I'm going to try that or not before they're
in it.
Yeah, I think within the trail, that's something I think the whole board would say that's
safety.
A good idea. And it doesn't have to be green, blue, or black. You can say easier caution. Way, harder way.
And could you say caution, steep, steep drop?
Yeah,
it
could be a lot
easiest
of different
way
ways to give somebody a heads up.
I
but
think
it's different than labeling the whole thing.
Because we have the three options,
yeah.
Three areas.
Right.
And we need to know.
So this is a great point. I don't think we necessarily need to do blue, green, black on those. We can do exactly what like Mount Bachelor does, where they just have like a big orange triangle or flag, which means this caution,
yeah.
Like technical features.
TTF, technical
terrain.
Yeah,
or just like caution, steep drop, something. We can look at what Mount Bachelor has, but it doesn't have to necessarily say black diamond, because...
They're not even anyways, right?
I don't know. I think I have a proposal,
I'm just going to say, it sounds like let's just name these things and get moving.
Yeah, my proposal is that for a future agenda item, I have written down here, if you want to talk about a trail difficulty rating system, which would be a holistic process, and who knows if it's the next meeting or five meetings from now, but I have it as a future discussion item. And then for now, I would propose that we recommend or approve the proposed trail by RVMBA without any like significance as to like if there's an official rating system. Yeah.
Are you open to a motion?
I just want to say one more thing. I think that also by moving forward with that, it respects the people that think that we're going to do something with what they took the time to submit, through the polling thing. So, I agree.
I'd like to make a motion that we propose to APRC to name the new trail Wasabi.
Second.
I have a clarifying question. Which trail are you talking about?
The one that's on the agenda.
I
think he wants the...
There's two trails. There's two options. So which option? There's two bailouts. So if there's two bailouts, are we going to name them both the same, or are we going to have different names for them?
Are they two totally different?
I think we name the whole trail one name, and then you can name an offshoot something separate. But the trail itself, as I understand, it's the trail. We don't have two separate trails. We have multiple options going down, right?
You have two entrances entering.
Like a Y, but like one side of the Y is way smaller than the other side.
Bento box number one, bento box number two. Door number one, door number
good
two.
Good question, Rick. I thought we were going for one.
So there's two entrances.
And that's what I'm getting at. I just think that's
right.
Going to be confusing to, that's like having...
Oh, I'm confused, so yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Good point. Thank you.
And it could be, again, this is just off the top of my head, it could be Wasabi first, Wasabi second. The first one
lower.
To get to and the second one to get to.
Lowers.
Or upper and lower,
have a lower and upper wonder.
Wasabi A and B.
Well, I think the upper and lower
fit
Wasabi,
on the sign.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That describes it, but
yeah.
Then you're on the one trail.
Well, at the top, you're not. I mean, you're either on upper or lower part.
Or you could have Wasabi, and the sub name is upper entrance and lower entrance.
Or it's just easier way down, harder way down, but it's one trail, right?
Well, they're both probably similar difficulty. It's just it's less climbing. One of them is less climbing.
Oh, okay.
So when you're going up Wonder, you can bail out earlier or later.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but it seems like if it's just Wasabi and
upper and lower.
Upper and lower.
Yeah.
And then they come together, but that's, again, it's just for wayfinding. It seems like, if someone's telling me where I'm going, I'd like to know.
Well, if you get hurt and you call AFR, you refer to upper or lower.
Salmon and then
you're on
the salmon.
Salmon
and then come into the salmon river.
Okay.
I don't know that we have to decide on upper or lower, other than maybe the motion could be that RVMBA would come up with a distinction between the two entrances that makes sense. Or
well, then at this point we might as well wait till we have that.
Don't want to wait.
Yeah, but then we're at a point where we got a name that we don't know what it means.
Upper and lower.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I make a motion that we recommend that Aparecida name the new trail Wasabi with the distinction upper and lower.
Second. Any discussion from myself or you?
I think getting this wrapped up here is you know, expediting everything, and I think the public's going to appreciate that because the trail's going to be open. And I love that RVMBA had collected public input, and there hasn't been, and to some, this process has moved really fast. So it's nice to see it continue to move fast, but also to have...
What?
See, he's already been signed.
I don't have
upper.
I don't have upper.
Oh, that's how I upper. Where do you go, Jason? Sorry.
That's yeah, that was a little crazy. I was like, wait, you already labeled it?
He's got a temporary sign. It says, well,
he's been sending out like little flags. We didn't even
okay,
know.
That's all I got to say.
What's in those glasses you got on the top of your head?
I have nothing to say. This is a rowdy bunch. I don't know about what I'm going to share. I have no comments. Made. Anyone else care to speak on the motion?
I think it's a great name.
Yeah. Okay, let's vote.
Should we do a legit vote?
Right? Yeah, probably.
Okay, Sean, would you mind?
I do not know everybody's name.
Okay,
so.
Well, neither do I, so we'll help them out. I think I do
that. So,
Torsten.
Say your vote.
Say your vote.
Oh, yes.
Sill.
Yes. Priscilla Franco.
Brooke. Thank you. Casey.
Yes.
Leslie.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Luke.
Yes.
David. Yes.
David, yes.
And Rick gets a vote, too.
And Mr. Law.
Yes.
The yeses happened.
All right. Cool. We got a trail. As a side note, Jeff did not vote because he is working part-time for Parks now, so he is not a voting member. And we are looking at putting together, because we are now a Trails Standing Subcommittee and no longer the Trails Master Plan Review Subcommittee, Sean and I are working on putting together some articles of origin, mission statement, whatever the paperwork that says that, and that will likely include. Was Jeff a hiker representative or just sort of general public?
Volunteer.
You're a volunteer.
General expertise.
So we'll be
historical
looking,
knowledge.
When we meet next, we'll have some of this to show you and. Rick and I will look to find someone to replace Jeff and have them approved by APRC, since all appointees are should need to be approved by the commissioners.
And is Eric, I'm assuming, the replacement for
Steve Jensen?
Yes, that's the new Steve Jensen.
I am your council liaison.
Yeah.
For that over the new Steve Jensen.
Okay, fair enough. And just as a note to RVMBA, and just we all need to make sure that we get those offshoots. We need to figure out a good way of labeling them, like within the next few days.
For the three difficult, more difficult, or whatever,
yeah.
Or less difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult.
So we're looking at an official opening day of Saturday, May 20th, unless that's an issue. And unfortunately, it does not look like we'll be able to have like a grand fanfare event on that day, but we're considering, APRC and RVMB are considering whether we're gonna do some sort of like a fun celebration at some point in the future, but a lot is going on right now. It does not sound like this weekend's gonna happen. Yeah.
I have a question about the signs. I know it's early.
Signage, all right, let's do this.
So I was up there today, and I would really like to see two signs, I guess, that basically say, okay, you've arrived at this trail, you can't go back down Wonder. Mm-hmm. So there should be a sign at each entrance that says, oh, you already have it, maybe?
One way sign.
I've got a Wasabi Trail downhill traffic only.
Yeah, it should say Wonder, no downhill traffic.
Only route or only exit this way.
Well,
like partway back
Wonder
from the intersection. I don't want bikers riding down Wonder. I don't want them to go, oh, this looks too hard, I'm turning around.
So just have signs on one or also to say uphill traffic only.
No, you it's almost like it's got to be facing downhill, and it should say
right,
like no bikes way. This direction.
Like 100 feet away from it, downhill. Like you turn around and start going, you're like, oh, whoops. No, I got
to I'd like it to be right there. Just really
it's is it at the beginning?
So once they commit, they got to go.
Right. I mean,
yeah, you're committed.
Or you keep climbing, you can keep going.
You can keep climbing.
If you want.
Right.
Along those lines, Torsten, are we going to be able to go, so if we're 2060 and we go up to Wander and we're going up to Hit Road, are we going to be able to go down Wander to this new one?
Nope.
Not at the moment? Okay.
No, probably never.
It's a long way.
Yeah.
This is just another trail there or somehow,
right?
You can only get there climbing Wander, lower Wander at this point. And then if you don't want to ride the trail, you keep going up until you get to 2060 Road and go down 2060 Road.
Gotcha.
I think those are the only options at the moment.
Gotcha.
Or walk your bicycle down.
It is the bottom of Wander Trail, is that signed one way only?
It is.
It will be.
So then you're just looking for some reinforcement of that.
When
yeah.
they decide they can't ride out down Wasabi.
So to face it, if they do this, they try to ride down. Sounds facing that way, saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. How far is that in?
Yeah, little.
I mean,
like little Burma Shade signs, you're committed now.
Yeah,
<okay.
laughs>
I'm curious, how far is it from the parking lot up to Wasabi?
It's like 1.1 miles.
To lower Wasabi?
To the top Wasabi.
So 1.1 up and 1 down. That's pretty cool.
It's like 0.8 down.
0.8 down?
Yeah.
It came from, I'm looking in your junk actually. It came from my
That's very cool.
Where I can. Maybe Torsten. We're trying to project the Alice parcels, and I'm just trying, I'm having some trouble. Can I text
it
to you?
I can do that.
I can text it to you, Sean.
Where are we projecting it? There?
I just need it to somehow get to this computer.
We need a teenager.
Totally.
Excuse me.
Leslie, as far as discussing the more difficult options, do you want to do that here? Or?
I think maybe we just talk together really quickly after that.
Okay.
I think we just look and see what
Matt has. I can do it from my phone if you don't
have
it. My webcast sometimes eases, sometimes it doesn't.
Here, okay, this should be coming your way. If it actually is forwarded
to
Chris.
Screen share, maybe.
What about the updates on property acquisition?
So that's these two. The next two items, update on property acquisition for trail connectivity plus Alice in Wonderland Ridge Trail are connected, and the map addresses both of those.
I just had to get to that screen.
I did just email you. It might be in your, or were you zapping it over? Is that?
Why don't let me do that? So you've got a new fancy one. All right, I got it.
What's your life cover on?
New phones.
Very interesting. Interesting.
That was Wasabi Trail, say downhill bike traffic.
You should have said downhill bike traffic on this first.
Downhill bikes only. Because there's a lot of hikers, and they're like, I'll hike it down this.
Before anything.
Right.
Yeah. It makes a sense. This one is meant to be at the bottom of Wasabi. So people, when they get there, they don't try to go up it.
There's
anyone
at the top that says.
We didn't when we were kind of laying it out. We didn't have one for up at the top of the can.
I just wonder if hikers are gonna want to take it from the top down and realize it's a bike
down
only.
So
downhill
bike only.
Yeah.
Downhill.
Oh yeah.
That's
key.
Yeah. There were runners coming down when we looked at it today. And a couple of guys said, look, great trail.
And one cyclist.
Well, and I mean, you're going to have that just like, people just are learning, and it's a new trail. And there's going to be a clear signage. It's going to help. Awesome. Okay. We have 31 minutes left of our meeting. I know some folks need to leave early. We'll try to get through this quickly. Just to orient you, this is the existing Alice in Wonderland Ridge Trail. This is uphill at the bottom of the map, moving downhill. And we've got Forest Service land. Oh, is down here. I hope it's going to come back.
My son finished.
Oh, you have to keep.
He likes trains.
And then we've got Park, Ashland Park lands on the other side. There's essentially Alice in Wonderland has been illegal for a very long time, and it's been passing through 1, 2, 3 private property parcels. I don't know when, but at some point, several people in this room, or a couple people in this room, negotiated to get ped and bike easements, not on the existing trail, but through Vollenweber's property and Rollins' property, but they're never able to get an easement on the Palin property.
Can we just acknowledge that it was mostly Jeff?
That was mostly Jeff?
No, it was a team effort.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you. So those easements sat there for a long time while the existing Alice Ridge Trail stayed the way it was. This Palin property came on the market. Well, this property is now owned by Seth Rand, so that is the gentleman who just had recently had the controversial logging thinning going on this property. And this Palin property has, I guess within the last week or two, closed. APRC purchased this 40-acre plot.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the missing link in this in the public access to this trail. As soon as it closed, or even maybe before, we were getting requests from Seth Rand and Jenny Rollins to move the trail as soon as they could,
wow.
As soon as we could. They want to fence this off and are ready for us to move it. So,
believe we got that trail, I mean that property. I'm
thank
still
you.
Pinching myself about that.
I mean, it's a huge, huge win. It's, you know, in some ways it's weird because we're all fighting for stuff that everyone thinks is already theirs, their right to have.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal. I think it's $150K purchase, probably worth every penny since now the trail is protected in perpetuity. But the one hitch here is that in the interest of getting those private property owners satisfied and moving the trail to the easement, we made an executive decision that since it was all private property owner and APRC land, that we weren't going to have this reroute approved through the entire trail process. Essentially, we saw it as a necessity that we had to just move forward as quickly as we possibly could. The easements already existed. They're set in stone. And so if you haven't seen the post on social media, Torsten and AWTA have already moved forward. They've cleaned the PED easement. They've cleared the PED easement. They've created this. And then is it open?
It's open.
It's
yeah.
open.
Yeah.
Torsten.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that happened.
What about the bicycle?
So the bike trail is still, the bike trail is everyone sort of hustling to kind of get that figured out. We're, especially because our rain is now gone. We got three weeks now of no rain in the forecast. This is it has a really fun kind of downhill. Seth has volunteered to, with his own trail building tools, to clear out his portion and Jenny's. Does anyone know?
I don't know.
He's already cleared most of
it. Well, I think
stuff.
He's going to make it a trail, like make it a bike trail. He said he volunteered to use his machine.
To build the trail on his property.
Right.
It goes through.
Right. So
on the easement.
So the question that still remains to be worked out is RVMBA would like to get Morgan of Earthworks, who just built this Wasabi Trail, wants to get them over to build this section and this section, and they're looking for funding, and that question needs to be resolved within the next few days. It's either going to be hand-built or machine-built, and you have to figure out how that's going to get funded. Jason, has Chris been, so last I heard Chris Chambers wanted to come up here and do like a natural resource inventory or just look at the property in terms of management. Do you know if he got a chance to?
I don't, I talked to him on Thursday and he hadn't on Thursday. I haven't talked to him today.
Okay, so I'll try to keep binging him.
He said he's hoping to maybe over the weekend.
But that's sort of where we're at with that.
So
So the original proposal we were looking at was a climbing bike route. Is that still exist or gone?
We're not even touching that right now. Okay. And I think like in the next conversation would possibly be a short discussion as to whether we're going to create working groups. Right now, we did the bare minimum to appease the property, the private property owners.
Okay.
And that is still... If someone wants to propose a working group on looking at all of Allison Wonderland Bridge in entirety, looking at a possible climb trail, looking at, you know, we now have this 40 acres, mm-hmm. there's fun things, something could happen here, that's one potential. The group really needs to decide what we want to focus on, because mm-hmm. there's actually a few different really cool, fun projects we could hit up.
About surveying, Leslie? Has anybody thought about how they're going to mark the easement?
I marked it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Based on the survey.
Okay.
So
you feel pretty good about that?
Well, but I want to add that Janny wants to move it lower. And I have some concerns that she knows I expressed to her. I don't want it getting too close to the pedestrian trail.
And like how much lower does she want to move it?
She'd like to move it as low as we would be willing to go. And
Jenny wants to move this closer to Griffin, basically.
Yeah.
But isn't there a gap in between the easements that isn't an easement?
Yeah, so there's a 15-foot wide area to work with.
Yeah.
She wants to go below that 15 feet, like 20 to 25 feet.
There's
no
problem.
She wants to move it out of the current easement.
Pretty much.
As far as building the trail-wise, except for the getting too close together, does it look okay or not?
It's just on the edge.
I don't like that because we just gave Seth Rand a cease and desist letter too, that we wanted that our easements were what they were, and we, gosh darn it, we were going to defend them where they're at. And so I feel pretty strongly that it sets a bad precedent to say, sure, no problem, we can move that easement. And Seth's been working hard to help put those on there. It just feels a little...
I'd like to offer a counter opinion to that, which is these easements wouldn't exist if Janny hadn't given one herself and rallied the neighbors to also give them. And so she was successful in giving her own, and then also the Bolin Bevers. It wouldn't have happened if she... So I feel like accommodating her, I think we should accommodate her. I just don't want to accommodate her too much. I mean, I think we can move the trail lower. It's a big slope. I just don't want it to get too close.
Rick, is this a PRC's decision or is something we want to deliberate as a trails group?
Well, it's a, I think maybe we should punt it to staff and get some, have more information. But we have an easement now. And so if we're talking about going off of an easement on the private property, something has to happen. We can't just do that. We even have to have a different easement created.
Yeah, and is there any way to build this in a timely fashion if that's the case?
If you got a different easement, then you'd have to put the other one to bed when you rebuild it, if you got the other easement later. But the city has a rule, I think, that if you have an easement, and if you want to change it, even if the owner accommodate giving another easement, it has to be considered of equal or greater value than the thing the city's giving up in order to justify it. So, probably wouldn't be a problem, but I'm just throwing that out
right on
for information, I think that's
that
like...
So I'm just curious for this group, I know we're time sensitive, that this is kind of just maybe an update on what's happening. There's really nothing for this group to decide on. I know you had some question marks of what's... So I just want to be clear, like, what's the goal for this group for this? I know you said there's still funding that needs to happen. Who's paying for what? Like, are we deciding that?
Nope.
Okay, so this is just, this is an information update that's happening with these trails. There's nothing in this group that we need to discuss or decide on.
Exactly, and I think Rick is right. If that's...
And I think I would tell Janny is, look, you guys want to get the easements. You know, you want us to move over to these easements ASAP.
And we're trying.
We're doing that. But given that, we can't, in a timely fashion, we can't also change the easement. So we're going to have to, so we need to build it within our easement now. And we'll have to, but We can be open to negotiating something down the line.
Or is there a way to build a light so that if it does get moved, it can be unbuilt successfully? Not machine build that part yet or something, you know?
Listen to Torsten, talk to her first. She's allowed so much stuff.
She has, yeah.
Can you point out where it is you're talking about that she wants different than what we're...
So this is the bike easement on Janney's property.
Yeah.
This is the ped trail that the easement attaches to. And she wants to move further downhill so it's closer to this trail. And, you know, the...
And closer to her
is,
property line.
No, yeah, further off her property.
Let me modify what I said, because she really only wants it lower in the area near her house site.
Can you point that out, Torsten?
It would be sort of like the E of bike, sort of right above the E, I think, is kind of where her house site is. So she doesn't really want to have bikes whizzing under her porch or her deck.
Then why did she put the easement there?
I can't speak to that. But I just want to address the other part of your comment about not accommodating Seth. Seth also wants to move the bike easement in a way that makes it more enjoyable for riders. So, and that maybe speaks to what Jeff said about a greater value. So I think Seth said, hey, if you follow the easement, it's really just a boring line. It's a straight line. If you want to add some swoopy, flowy fun, then we're going to have to depart from this 15-foot. And I'm okay with that. That's what Seth says.
Well, we have a lot of, from our RVMDA standpoint, like, we have a lot of people trying to make this happen quickly for everybody. So I think we need to know, like...
what your constraints are.
Well, is this, like, something we need to keep working on, or do we need to put this to bed? So that's what I wanted to walk out.
Well, I think if it's a process within the city to change an easement, to know what that process is, right? The timeline for that, because that's just factual. If it's going to change, it has to go through a process.
Yeah, that's attorney time.
I'm not sure if I'm in favor of having an informal with Seth Rand saying, oh yeah, okay, we'll have the trail go off the easement. I think we should stay on the easement and have be legal. And
that's what I told Matt. And I
definitely stay on the trail.
What's the backup plan if we don't have funding for the bike park this season, like right now?
I think the backup plan is they keep the trail open, bikes stay on the ridge, and we sort it out in the fall.
But do they have to keep it open? I mean,
no.
That's my question.
Someone's working to change the easement, I guess it's like in good faith that they would keep it open.
That's their motivator.
Right? Because they can't ask you to change it.
And give more time in order to do it.
So maybe Torsten, it sounds like you've been communicating with Janney. Maybe that's the choice she has. We'll say we want this trail to be legal. We want it to be on the up and up. We either want to stay in the easement, but if you want to go through the process of moving it so that we know that our trail is stable, then we're going to have to keep the ridge. Get an agreement, I guess, from Seth and Janney that will keep it open through the summer.
I think that's the wise way to go,
frankly. And then who would pay for any survey?
I wouldn't ask
her to do it, us do it.
I wouldn't say that we keep it through the summer. We keep it until we have the option. That's what it has to be.
Right.
Long term, that's
Well, I don't want to be redundant, but then going back to when we considered the uphill lower part of the Alice before, and I think a couple of us said, no, you don't want to make it and send people up there when we don't have the throughway guaranteed yet. This changes that. So now we can take a revision look at that, if the committee decides. And so the question, too, if that gets changed off of the contour, the bike easement, will it still be uphill rideable? They don't want to make that be a factor to, I know the private property owners have their brothers about it, but is that a factor that you want to make sure is in there so that if the lower thing does work out later, it all jives then when it comes together?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I kind of don't want to forget about that anyway. In the design, if it does get redesigned, to have a little bit more fun, to not just be thinking about the downhill only. I mean, right now it is kind of a boring line.
You have 15 feet to work in.
Yeah, and that you can't swerve very much in that. You can get around trees, basically.
Sure, you know, stuff.
I'm happy to tell Jamie and Seth that it's a work in progress. It may not happen this summer.
Well, we can make it happen, though, if we stay on the easements.
There are things to consider.
That's what it would be great if you could communicate to Jannie about it. If you and Seth.
I mean, I think I already know the answer from Jannie. I think she'd just soon wait.
Move
it.
But that's the option. Key. You gotta give the options, because it isn't that we're willing to just move forward and do what they said they wanted. But if they're changing their mind, which is fine, it might be better for everybody.
Yeah.
But that's going to take us more time.
Put it in their court.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were saying what they wanted, and we were saying what we wanted. Both, you know, back when with the talk about moving it. Because we didn't want to lose the trail, and they wanted it to be moved over out of their building envelopes, you know.
Yeah.
So there was a mutual win-win possibility there, you know. But
thanks for doing that, Dorsten. I think that'll clear up the situation.
Is there enough soil moisture now to even start?
Well, there is a free water truck donation on the table for our band today, so that would help. It would help, but I mean,
I got to say, from my experience building the Alice pedestrian route, that we ran out of water in the last little section.
Wow.
And so it's firm for 99%, and then there's just this 1% of dust.
It goes quick.
Yeah.
And then what would be the naming situation with those, since it's becoming two trails?
Alice bike, Alice ped.
Tweedledee, Tweedledee.
Yeah, all right. Stick with the.
I kind of like eat me and drink me, but
oh my gosh, that's so cute.
There's still some untapped Lewis Carroll. Options.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's so good. We don't need to sign that right now.
This number isn't very big. If we find out about this fast,
well, let's see what Jannie says first. Okay. Any other last things about the property acquisition or the Alice Owner Library Trail detour or reroute? Torsten's going to be our emissary with Jannie, and that sounds great. The rest of the time, which is really 14 minutes, is to look at potential working groups in terms of areas to work on in the future. The way that we do this, in order to form a working group, someone would need to propose one, and a majority of the voting members of this group would need to agree that that is a priority for the community, for the Trails Working Group, for the Trails Subcommittee, and then we would need to form a working group of four or less members so that we wouldn't be a quorum. I'll just start by saying that I see the potential of, as I just mentioned, the Alice traffic and sort of the future of possibilities within the Alice Ridge Trail, both above, in, and below the areas that you just looked at, is one potential. And I also wanted to make you aware of an initiative within Forest Lands Management Advisory Council and the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy to take a look at Siskiyou Mountain Park. At fuels management, at recreational trails, and so so the Siskiyou Mountain Park is another potential, and then of course I've heard mention about, well, we've got Imperatrice that kind of still hanging there. We can decide if that's still a priority, and then the only other one that I can think of off the top of my head is the Lithia East Lydia Hillside.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have, and I guess I'm open to suggestions of how this should go, but we don't have a ton of time. It'd be nice to create at least one working group to have a question.
I'm trying to figure out how this, the work, creating a working group plays into what trail applications come in.
My perspective is that any group that wants to put together a proposal for a trail or a modification is welcome to do so
at any
time.
Including this group.
Well, anything that came out of this group would probably come from a working group process.
So I guess what I'm saying is, like, if let's say, somebody here wants to do Sissy Mountain Park, then so we go and look at feasibility of stuff, but like there's no outside organization presenting that.
We could create a proposal ourselves.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the process.
That's actually a great, that's a great process. That's, that would be like internally through APRC, a process coming through. But
sure.
AWTA or VBA or any other group could, from the externally, submit something, and then we would get together and review it if it happened that way too.
And it would just get like queued up. Let's say our VBA submitted something tomorrow after we just created this, or something else.
I think that it's an understanding that the working group is going to be a process. I mean, if we're looking at all of Siskiyou Mountain Park or everything at Alice, that is probably a month, several months long thing where we're really trying to get a conceptual idea. So if you have a finished proposal, we're going to get together and review that finished proposal.
Mm. We don't.
Just so I'm linking, I know it was kind of a change in process. When we first got together, the goal was to review the RVMBA trails proposals. I had, what, 8 different trails?
Yes.
We tackled one. I think there's others in there that you mentioned, but are we not focused on that anymore? And then RVMBA, if they wanted to propose again trails that they've already proposed, they have to go through and re-propose it through this new process?
So my perspective is that we reviewed all those trails. We chose 3, and one was the trail that is opening, the other is what we're talking about right now. So one of the things I'm looking forward is potentially continuing that. And then as a group deciding, kind of moving away from the RVMBA proposal, looking at a group as a group at what we want to pursue. So. In my opinion, we've moved away from the RVMBA trails plan to sort of a holistic group look at where we want to go. I'm open to talking about that if you think we should be constrained by the trails plan. I see it as sort of like we got all that information, we understand, we know like the areas that RVMBA has talked about, and now in order to move forward, we want to get a majority of the group that agree that this is a priority for the community.
On RVMBA, can just submit a proposal from the trails at any time.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of one trying to track and making sure feels like we didn't just sort of sidestep all their work. So I feel like it takes a lot of time to do all that, and then asking them to redo it when part of this group was formed to look at those. I know, right, we focused on 3, but just not, I think one of the others in there that wasn't focused on was the Olympia Park that you mentioned. So that's being brought back. And I just didn't know if there's a way to kind of make sure that we're not
doubling work.
Either doubling work or just, you know, brushing something off that, you know, RVMBA is wanting us to either focus on, but I guess you're right, like, we want to repropose it or.
Sure, and like, we had to do a full,
like, what are we going to focus on?
We had to do a full proposal for the Lower Wonder.
Right.
Even after we had like a concept with the working group. Yeah. We actually could use that concept from the working group in our proposal.
Yeah.
So this group had rated
so.
We had rated the different proposals and then asked to be assigned to different ones, is that right?
Yeah, and that was the same Paratris, Allison.
So every single one of these working groups is on the RVMBA trail, the trail plan. And as we've, I think, and from my memory, we talked several times about the RDMV proposal being conceptual and only. It's not like, this is the trail we're proposing.
Right. Yeah.
So I think it would behoove us if we pick Siskiyou Mountain Park to look at the concepts that RDMVA has put forward, and then also to think about, you know, when we talk with Southern Oregon Land Conservancy, when we work with Chris in terms of fire management, that might be modified, that might change, it might come up with whole new ideas that RVMBA would be involved with, as well as AWTA, which is why we're all in this group. Rick?
So when we did that, when we chose before, and Paradis was one of the ones we chose. And so what I think what we learned is that that's probably a bigger, longer term project. But you know, we're not going to look at all of them. We're only going to look at
two or three at most. We should do two working groups at most today.
But I don't even, you know, we're almost to the end of the time. Let's make sure we get one out of here.
Okay, well, I
Alice
would like
Ridge.
To... What's that?
Alice Ridge, working group. Do it. Make it
do
simple.
We do it just like the second, and then we vote to create a working group?
Is yeah, that... and understand that when you vote for these...
You're not voting for something
you're not,
else.
There may be, that may preclude something else. So actually getting your nomination in first is probably wise. So we have a nomination here. We do not have a second.
Can we do all nominations on the table and just narrow it down?
Well,
why don't we do that by saying, like, who are people that have interest in working groups? We'll get all of the proposals down and then pick the whatever the top two are.
How are you going to do that?
So I would like to propose Siskiyou Mountain Park. And Torsten wants to propose Alice Ridge. If there's anyone else who wants to propose other things, we get four, and then we could potentially do a vote.
I would like to propose the Glenview Lithia Park Trail.
So
you had mentioned, I don't know if it's part of the Alice Ridge, the new land that was just purchased. Is that?
I think that would be part of it. I think that
okay.
would include that.
Part of that group.
But if everyone voted for their... You could do ranked voting.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
how?
You're not going to get this done in 10 minutes, probably. What
we can try.
What we could do is we could get the input, but we could, and then do the compilations afterwards.
Meaning have people rank stuff and then count it later
yes.
after the meet, so
yep.
people can get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a Siskiyou Mountain Park. I have. The many named Lithia, Glenview,
it's
east
side
east
Lithia Park.
Side. And then Alice Complex. Sorry, I don't know why that amused me. Are those the three? Is there any other? Is anyone dying to go back to Imperatress?
I'm still gonna
just
do
keep it alive, maybe.
I'm still doing a long slow on Imperatress.
Imperatress?
I'm still looking at stuff.
Oh, okay. Did you want to propose it to put together a working group?
I don't want to get 1,000 people out of there like last time. I want just two of us to go up and look at something.
Sounds like maybe you're going to do that regardless of
whether
we have
As he's been doing for, what, 25 years, probably?
Okay, so I will not put Imperatress down.
I think you should.
Okay.
Yeah,
so if we
let him do it.
A working group, but, like, so let's say RBNBA puts in a trail proposal, do we then shift and focus on that? Because there's no official trail proposal for us to review at this
right.
time, which is why we're trying to find something to focus
on.
So
if a trails group or a citizen submits a formal proposal, I would send that out to everyone in the trails group. We would put together a meeting. We would come together to discuss just that proposal and whether it would get approved. We might have to create a working group if there were issues with it, and then we'd get very busy. Or if it got approved, it would just go straight up. And it could also get rejected and sent back. But I see that as kind of a separate process where externally proposals could be coming, and we are required to respond to those, I think within like 60 or 90 days or something, I'm not sure. We're required.
We're two different kind of, we're doing this, and if something comes in, we're also doing that.
Yeah, working group is a slow burn.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
He was raising his hand for you.
Okay, cool. So another thing I've been looking at long term that I think that we should look at is what we should do on Acid Castle, rather than letting people just dig it all up.
Agreed. Okay. Okay, so, top two choices, and you need to rank them as number one or number two.
And here's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting everyone on a piece of paper have these five, rank them one to five, put your name on it.
Rank them all, okay.
Yeah, put your name on it, and then we'll compile that information.
Okay, do we have this? Or, oh, sweet.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. Pass the line.
Oh, I guess
I'm right on there.
Thank
you. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'm going to
do
a drill.
Oh,
cool.
Maybe not. Here's
one to
five.
Okay. But I think it'd be good to put your name on them that way. That way, in case there's some issue.
So,
Is that something we do or not, Rick?
Is what?
Staff does this or not?
No.
No, okay, there you go.
And just to be clear, maybe it's obvious, but just be clear for everyone, is that we are not a mountain bike trails subcommittee. We're a trail subcommittee.
All right.
We're like inclusivity and making sure that this is a trail network that that all of our recreation is going to do.
Where is going?
Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, so yeah, that's probably best to have staff do this. I would say that Leslie and I would do it, but I think it's probably best just to have staff do the compilation.
No, I wondered if we vote or not on this.
No.
Yeah. We don't, right?
No.
Right?
Yeah, you're non-voting members.
We're non-voting. Yeah. Okay. You just here to look pretty. It was a change for me.
You're just here to be historical.
Yeah.
Your head's too big.
That's what
we're
doing.
You're not allowed
to have opinions.
No,
we're
not.
I'm
putting
it out. No, you put it as five.
I did put it as five, but I don't want it.
Well, people are voting.
Do
you want me to send you GPSs of stuff?
You're still going to have to rank it as five.
Okay.
So it's exactly 3:30.
What I'm saying is the group should say, don't waste time on the
Thank you. I feel like that was a productive meeting and a lot of really exciting stuff going on. I know that my perspective is quite a few of us travel and do stuff during the summer, so this will be, to have some working groups would be a nice way to sort of have some slow things to work on where we all kind of take a breather, and for those of us with kids home and family again in summer, and then, you know, in earnest, towards the end, August, like September, probably see if we can get some more cool projects
done.
Thank you. And I'll, I guess I'll email out the results, and then we'll take volunteers for the working group until we get to four.
Up to four. You don't have to
make a lot of it.
No. A few anticipated.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thanks.
Lots of good stuff. Great.
It's not
going
to go that fast.
First sessions.
That's why these numbers are first.
If you want, you don't have to be.
You don't have to.